This is Resurrection Sunday, as you know, and it's so exciting. I just love this weekend of Good Friday, and what you said before, Sandra, was so profound, you know, and all of us find ourselves in various aspects of life right now, and some of you going through really, really tough times, but to know that there is a future, that there is a hope, that there is a resurrection, that was so encouraging. And all of us who follow Jesus Christ have his resurrection life living on the inside. You know, Jesus accomplished many things on the cross, but I think probably the main thing he accomplished was the defeating of death. And obviously that has been done potentially, that people still die physically, but he defeated, death is the last enemy, the Bible tells us. And he defeats death. And that's why that through salvation in Jesus Christ, the free gift is not just the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of eternal life in his presence. And all that that means, and that begins now, that quality of eternity and abundance of life that lives on the inside of each and every one of us. And so that's if we're followers of Jesus. And if you're not, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. The message today is part two of what I began on Friday morning, and that is Love Stands in the Gap. So we did part one on Good Friday and part two today. If you'd like to follow this message in your scriptures, in your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And in a few minutes' time, we're going to read verses 17 to 19. But on Good Friday morning, I shared with you a few verses from Psalm 103, a psalm that was written by David, King David, after he had received the pardon of God from committing adultery with Bathsheba and trying to cover up his sin with murder. And so you can only begin to imagine the overwhelming sense of gratitude that King David had at receiving forgiveness for such heinous crimes. And we talked about the measure of God's love and the measure of God's forgiveness. And in his mindset, in the ancient world, over 3,000 years ago, the measure, the biggest thing he could say about God's love was that it's as high as the heavens are above the earth. And so as I shared on Friday morning, that from their perspective, the heavens were the dome where the clouds would move, and it looked like a big blue dome. And then at night, of course, they realized that there were celestial lights beyond the dome. And from his limited understanding of the creation, he just looked up and he said, well, God's love has got to be at least as great as that. So it was an ancient Hebrew way of saying that God's love is really, really big. Yeah. And we're going to see the revelation that the Apostle Paul had, a greater revelation of the love of God over 1,000 years later in just a moment. And then the measure of God's forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or our trespasses from us. Not north to south, which is a measurable 20,000 kilometer distance, but east to west, which is immeasurable. And all of us would do well to have that revelation, not just in our heads, but in our hearts as well. And particularly if you've committed some sort of act in the past that you regret now, that you stop living under the shadow of that. Because if you've received the forgiveness of God, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed that transgression or those trespasses from us. It's an immeasurable distance. And the Bible says that God will remember them no more. And that's great news. Sometimes we live with this kind of fearful apprehension of what it actually might be like on Judgment Day. But if Jesus has taken your sins, he's taken them and the punishment of them, and he's removed them from you. You're not going to get up there on Judgment Day and for God to say to you, oh, by the way, sorry, but your sin was just a little bit greater than I could deal with, than I could bear with. Bad news, you know. No. Because the cross was enough. The resurrection was enough. So if you missed that message on Friday, it is online on our Bayside Church website or the app. And so let's keep going about this amazing love of God. Love stands in the gap as we continue to explore God and all he has for us, for all people and for all of his creation. And I want us to spend a few minutes in Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. And this is just part of his prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll pick it up from verse 17. And Paul says, I pray, remember he's praying for a church here, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and how high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's an incredible prayer. And I pray this over you. I pray this over Bayside Church today. Let's just unpack this for a few minutes. He's praying here that this church community would be rooted and established in love. Those words mean to become stable and well-grounded. I love nature. I love walking amongst trees. Pretty well every day, I'll take our dogs to one of the parks near us. I particularly love Cheltenham Park at the moment, just off Park Road. And those stunning trees that are around there, they must be decades old, many of those trees, maybe even 100 years old. They're thick and they're strong and they're magnificent. And their root system must be something else. You don't get to see it, but you know it's there. Because when the wind is blowing strong, those trees are not moving. They're just solid. The branches might be doing this and the leaves are rustling, but the tree is strong and sure. And that's what those words mean, that the apostle is praying. And I pray that over Bayside Church, that we will become stable and well-grounded in love. And he's not just praying this for individuals. He's praying this for the church. He says that together with all of the Lord's holy people, together our theme for 2019, with all the Lord's people, that this wouldn't just be an individual revelation, but that together as a community of believers, we are strong and stable and fully aware of the immensity of the love of God for us and for all people. And that we might grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. Let's just stop and think about this for a moment, because David had this revelation 1,000 years before that God's love might be as high as the clouds and could possibly even stretch to the celestial lights. But 1,000 years later, the apostle has this greater revelation of the love of God that moves off into all different directions. We've got a graph that we just put up on the screen for you. And there actually should be arrows at the end of each and every one of those lines. So there's the height, the width, the depth, and the length of the love of God. And the P, the point, right there, right in the center, is where you and I dwell. Right in the center of the love of God. And when God's love goes high, it keeps going. When God's love goes deep, it keeps going. When God's love goes wide, it keeps going. When his love goes long, it keeps going. And you find yourself right in the center of the love of God. And that is our prayer for this church. And then he goes on, he says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. It sounds like a contradiction, or it's a paradox. He's praying here that we would know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. How do you know something that surpasses something? The Greek word here is a really interesting word. It's hyperbalo, and we get two words in our English for this, hyper or hyper, which means to go beyond. If you've ever met a person that's hyper, or you've met children that are hyper, they go beyond, right? Like, so our normal kind of energy is here. Someone that's hyper is up here. So it goes beyond. And balo, it means to throw. It's actually the Greek word we get our English word ball from. And so this word literally means to throw further than you have to. You trust me? No. So in other words, if I was going to throw this ball and all I had to throw it to was to Sandra, you're going to catch it? No, it's okay. Oh, you want to catch? Okay. All I had to throw it was to Sandra. Okay. But But if I'm hooperbalo, I'm going to throw it farther than I need to. Good catch. So you can have that. And it's actually my dog's ball. So you're definitely going to need to wash your hands after. Just wipe your hands on the person next to you, yeah. So isn't that an incredible picture? So when we talk about the love of God, this is the revelation that the Apostle Paul is praying into the church. We're praying into this church that really all we had to do is this much. All God has to do for us is that much, but He goes so much further. And God is a much better thrower than I am. In other words, what this means is that when I think I've got to the end of God's love keeps going. Pause on this revelation for a moment. Because if you're anything like me, I get this limit in my head that God can love so much, that God's love might run out somewhere, that it would be possible that maybe I could go beyond the love of God. But it's actually impossible to go beyond the love of God because the love of God is hooperbalo. He throws so much further. The love of God goes so much further than you can ever imagine God's love to go. In fact, it's impossible for us to be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe I'm speaking to a few people here in this gathering today and online as well. That you've thought to yourself because of things that have happened in your past, things that you've done, things that you could have done and should have done but didn't do, and you live with this element of regret, and you've got this thought in your mind that the love of God has kind of run out for you. Impossible. Impossible. And we need to have that revelation. Pray that revelation into your heart. Pray that revelation into this church. The Apostle John also teaches about this love of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and we'll put this verse on the screen for you. He says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." The love of God that stands in the gap for each and every one of us is great and lavish. Now, this word great is a fascinating word in the original language. It's actually a question. And this word great literally means from what country? John is actually asking a question here rather than making a statement. Let me give you an example. Fairly recently, I met this chap and we were just spending some time chatting together and he had this New Zealand accent going on, which indicated to me that he had spent a considerable amount of time in New Zealand, but his looks were not New Zealand-ish. His looks were Middle Eastern. And so in the conversation, I said to him, "Oh, just out of interest, I hear this Kiwi thing happening here, but when I look at you, I want to know, like, do you come from New Zealand? And if you don't, what country are you from?" I didn't kind of ask like that. It was just part of the conversation. And he said to me, "Oh, I was actually born in Egypt." And he talked about his mum and dad being Egyptian and that they'd emigrated from Egypt to New Zealand when he was just a young boy. And he grew up then in New Zealand and did all of his studies there. And now he's working in Melbourne. And so I asked him, "From what country are you from? Where did you come from? Why have you got the looks that you have and the accent that you have and putting them together?" And so it was an interesting conversation. It was a whole lot more than that. But it was like, from what country are you from? And that is what the Apostle John is actually asking here. What kind of love is it? Where does this kind of love come from? It can only come from God. What sort of love is this that we should be called God's children? It's a great question. And the answer to the question, what kind of love makes human beings into the adopted children of a loving God? The answer is, it's lavish love. Lavish. Don't you love the word lavish? Lavish is like one of those words that sounds like it means. It's like bounce or splash. It's one of those words, lavish. Say it. Lavish. You know what it means by listening to the word. Lavish means to bestow something in generous or extravagant ways. It means to cover something thickly or liberally. One of the things I love cooking, and one of the things I love to cook is a roast. Apparently, I do a very good roast. We had some friends around a while ago, and after the roast, he said to his wife, "Babe, Pastor Rob does a better roast than you do." Things not to say to your wife. He's probably right. I love cooking a roast, especially roast lamb with lots of mint sauce, yeah? Crispy roast potatoes, peas, honey carrots, all the different... It's nearly lunchtime, isn't it? Maybe I should start right now. One of the things I love doing with my roast, I love making gravy, and I make it out of the meat juices. Apologies to the vegetarians and the vegans in our, but I love my meat, right? I love animals and I like eating them. And one of the things I love doing is making this gravy, and most people just kind of have a spoon of gravy on their meal, but I like mine drowned. I like it so the peas have to wear snorkels, you know. I just keep ladling it on until the whole meal is kind of floating in this bed of gravy and mint sauce, and it's so good. And so when it comes to gravy, I like it lavish. I like it generous and extravagant, thick and liberal. And that's the sort of thing that John is here saying that God's love is like. The love of God that has no end is generous and extravagant. When God applies his love to our lives, he does so thickly and liberally. And I want to ask you, is that your view of God? Because many people don't have that view of God, and the reason being is they've heard some of God's people talking about God and sending Twitter and Instagram messages about God, and getting on trains in Sydney and preaching about God, and all these other things that we've witnessed lately that, if you're anything like me, sadden you greatly, because it communicates a God that is harsh, distant, angry, temperamental, judgmental, and someone who's sitting up there somewhere in heaven on a throne. He's very old with long hair and a long beard, and he's got a pad and a pen, and he's particularly interested in writing down everything you've ever done wrong. He's a bit like the God here in this cartoon. I am not amused. God's holy smiting stick. Whatever your view of God is, part of my prayer is the same as Paul's prayer, that you would allow 1 John 3:1 to form, John's prayer, to form your picture of what he is really like. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. God's love is so great that he adopts us into his family and calls us his children. That's what Jesus was communicating. He was praying one day. Disciples came to him and they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And he starts with two words, "Our Father." He didn't say "my Father." He included them in the prayer, "Our Father." And he welcomes us into his family. I have three daughters, as many of you well know. And when they were younger, they would play a game, which I would absolutely hate. And it was called My Daddy. And they would get around me, and then Gigi would start, and she'd go, "It's my daddy." Paris would go, "No, it's my daddy." Trinity, "My daddy." Because she was a lot younger then. And they'd be pulling at me like this, "My daddy. My daddy." I'm like, "Stop it," in 3 hours. "My daddy, my daddy." And that's something we can say of God together. My daddy. He's our father. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm sharing my daddy with you. You've been adopted into the same family, and my dad loves you as much as he loves me. In the Roman culture of the New Testament times, the adopted one became, in the eyes of the law, a new person who was viewed as literally being born again into a new family, taking the family name and having a right to the family's inheritance. What a wonderful picture this is of what has happened to all those who have been adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. And so that is my prayer for you, Bayside Church, that we might start to realize or continue to realize that the love of God is so much greater than we ever imagined it to be. That we allow our limited thinking to be stretched. God wants to throw his love further than he needs to. It stretches wide, high, deep and long, and it keeps going, and nothing can separate you and me from that love. Amen.